B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, it's the DraftKings Over Under Show. Good morning, everybody. I think people are ready to go for football. Lifschitz was walking around here all hyped up, ready to go. Tucker's excited as well. We got a couple of games last night. Syracuse pulls out a win. Air Force wins big, and Boise State goes down in somewhat.
Well, Syracuse collapsed.
let's go up 16-0, and then it didn't turn out for well. But a ton of college football games today. Just to let everyone know, we can bet on how many times we say the word podcast. I've heard that laughed at us, but we've done a full podcast. So the one thing about the Over Under podcast is we actually discuss every single game. Meaning, even if it's Wofford versus whatever, we talk about it. Chattanooga and who was it? Illinois. We even mentioned the line on that one. Did that cover, by the way?
Illinois covered. They won 31-0.
What was it again? I'm just trying to remember.
Line was 19.
Okay, so it was 19. Okay, so they won.
18.5, 19.5.
They won handsomely. Then that's fine. Yes. But yes, we do every single game. Like the weird games. And I know there's someone mentioned an FCS minute. At some point, we're working on it. But yes, we've picked games on that. We'll give out some today. I think the kind of play the hits on this show is kind of what we'll have to do. And then the NFL, we've done a full podcast as well, talked about every single game. We gave out a few picks, and we'll do a few more today. So if there's a game you want to talk about, I suggest calling in at 617-779-0985. You can tweet at us as well. So I'm ready for the college slate of football games today at noon. Obviously, we'll see Georgia early on, right out of the gate. They play Kent State, which the total right now is 61. Line is 45. I'm very interested in the Maryland-Michigan game. And it's not so much about what is Michigan, because I think they've played absolute cupcakes. They're a good team. And Dan, we talked about maybe a regression this year based off all the talent they lost. Well, Maryland's 3-0. They won last week against a good SMU team, but was on a look-ahead spot, let's be honest. Tuilagi Tagovailoa has been really good. 6 touchdowns, almost 1,000 yards through the air. I've seen this before. Like, I have tried to get on the Maryland train in the past, and then they'll lose 58-6. You know? So, I know the line 17, Dan. But I've seen this one before. Again, Michigan, freshman quarterback, what is he, sophomore quarterback, whatever, the backup to McNamara, who's now starter. I want to see how he can do against a formidable opponent. That's really it for me. But he's at home. I think they should cover that number.
So, I mean, this one opened all sorts of different places. It opened, I believe, FanDuel at 15.5 when it first opened. DraftKings opened 18.5. Circa opened, I thought it was 16.5. I believe that that's correct. Circa's saying they opened 20. But either way, this game got up to the 20s. It got up to 20, 21, 22, and it absolutely got crushed back down. A couple of different sharp groups came in, hit the number, and they're against Michigan. And I'll tell you right now, Michigan is a massive public favorite today. 88% of the bet, 83% of the money. Obviously big on the over, too. Usually have that. That's how it goes with the favorite. But, yeah, Joe, you mentioned it, and I actually went on a show with Teddy Covers yesterday and talked about how Michigan – you know, that this is a team where you can't really use the data points that we have on them so far. You know, Colorado State, Hawaii, and UConn, 3 of the worst teams in the FBS this year. It's hard to get a true read. And, you know, Maryland's actually going to give them a real test. Now, you know, Maryland may not win this game, but it can play football. Maryland's a good team. And, you know, they're significantly better than the other three that we just listed. So I do think this is going to be an interesting game. And that's kind of why I'm staying away from it, Joe, just because I don't quite know exactly what Michigan is. I think you have to go a lot off go back to what you thought this team would be in the summer and maybe make a little bit more of an evaluation of, you know, what you thought Michigan was going to be, you know, than what they actually are through 3 games. Just it's super hard to get a reading with those three teams that they played. It's just, it's tough.
Yeah. I'll say this about Tuilua Tagovailoa. This was the game last year where I said he's not good. He got smoked in it. They lost 59-18. He threw for 178 yards. He had a touchdown, but he's bad. He's bounced back pretty well. I mean, I got to admit, is that like a revenge spot? Is that something people want to look at? I agree with you, Dan. I think the money should be on Michigan. Like, they should cover the number. To me, it's, do you really feel that Maryland can go and do that on the road? I'm going to say no. In the last six matchups where it's Michigan versus Maryland, Michigan has covered the spread. So can that happen seven in a row? I think Michigan wins the game. I think they win by like 20 points, but we'll see where the line goes. It's been kind of steady. You said 16 and a half at times. I mean, I've seen it rated 17. Usually when I see something stuck on the same number all week long, it's kind of one you might want to stay away from because there's been really no movement. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, when you see basically a number that's been stagnant, you know that pretty much everyone has the same feel about that. There is no considerable sharp money going in on, you know, on the market from either side. So, yeah, that would be one that I would agree with there, Joe. But I will say this, this moved off the opener. Okay, the opener started low, went high, came back low, and that's kind of where we've been with Michigan this week. But, yeah, I mean, really, I haven't 16.5, 17, 17.5. I mean, you know, it's really been sitting at pretty much those three numbers all week.
Is McNamara dressed? I know he hurt his leg.
Yes.
So if something happened to McCarthy, McNamara would be the guy.
I believe so.
I only want to say, because I know he injured his leg and might be out. I read some reports he's out. That's the only thing I'd look at here is if McCarthy, something happened to him.
I don't care about that.
Yeah, that's the only thing. But J.J. McCarthy's look good. But again, we're using it against Hawaii and some of the worst. I think Michigan's had a layup of a schedule. They'll get a formidable opponent today. It's just, what is Maryland? And I'll never forget last year. I'm like, hey, you know, Maryland's got a pretty good team. They got smoked. But that was an all-time Michigan team, no doubt.
Yeah.
There's a couple of other games today, Dan. Just sticking in the noon slate, because I like to bet the early games. It gets me rocking and rolling for the day. This might not be a big one to some, but I think it is. TCU travels to Southern Methodist. This is Sonny Dykes leaving SMU, where he was great. Goes to TCU, takes over that program, who's now 2-0. SMU was the favorite, and now all the money's come on TCU. SMU was in a real look-ahead spot last week at Maryland. They hung around early and then kind of slipped up. TCU, we don't really know what they are yet either. They started slow their first game. They win the next game, and they did well in that game. But I feel like that place is going to be wild today, where I think the home underdog getting 2.5, it seems like the play, even though I think TCU is the better team.
Yeah, again, TCU, another real team that we don't have a lot of a true data point on. I mean, would you consider a game at Colorado right now? I know they're a Pac-12 team. Do you consider that a real game?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
And they played Tarleton. So, you know, you kind of have to go what you think they are going to be off the offseason. I bet TCU pick them because I thought this number is going to move. TCU is not going to go into SMU, and they're not going to be a 2-point dog here. I made the number TCU minus 2.5. I would not bet TCU. Like, straight up, I'll tell you right now, I don't like TCU. I thought TCU was in a look. I thought TCU was bad versus Tarleton. SMU clearly in a look ahead versus Maryland. I thought both those teams were in a look ahead, though, Joe. So kind of hard to, you know, really kind of, you know, downgrade either side there. But yeah, SMU has been good. They moved the ball pretty well versus North Texas,
who good I think is
a real data point for them. They moved the ball against Maryland. They were leading at half. Like, you know, you have some data points there and kind of see. Yeah, I think SMU can play a little bit, in my opinion. I think, as you said, this is going to be an emotional game. And the interesting thing is we've seen an influx of TCU money, which has been sharp early in the week. I mean, we'll probably see some public money on TCU today, too. But it's absolutely been a sharp move from, you know, plus one to, you know, minus 2.5. But, you know, with the exception of a rogue three in the market here or there, we haven't seen that go to three. And that's the number to me that is kind of important where, okay, sharps are willing to hit. The sharps are pretty much going to two. They're not hitting 2.5. They're not pushing this number to three. They're sitting on that 2.5 number, Joe, and they're standing by it.
Last year, SMU won the game at TCU. It's probably one of the reasons why with Patterson got canned. But Mordecai played well. Had four touchdowns, but did throw three interceptions. Duggan was good. Threw three touchdowns. So it's like, think about that. They got over 100 yards on the ground, TCU. Duggan was good, and they still lost the game at home.
Yep.
So now it's a reversal effect. Coach going to his former plays. Duggan's back. Mordecai's got more hype. The awful loss. I just, you know what? Give it to me. Let's ring the bell. Let's ring it up. Yep. Give me SMU plus 2.5 today. Let's ring the bell, brought to us by thelines.com, the Bankroll Boys' favorite place for all prop bets and picks over at thelines.com. So there we go, Dan. I'm starting it off today with SMU.
Okay. Yeah.
Why is there a phone coming out of your computer?
I don't know. I wish I had a clue for you. I'll answer it.
It's ringing, but
I can exit out of the app. How about I exit out of the app and we'll see what happens. Now pop me up there, Tuck. Let's see what happens now.
Oh, he's okay. Hey, right, let's light it up,
just
baby.
Just the app.
SMU. I love it. And Dan, how many you're the guy that always says, oh, look ahead spot, sandwich spot, da 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 da. SMU's ready for this game. Dude, they're going to get 40,000 people. I drove by it when I was in I went by SMU Stadium when I was out in Dallas, Texas this year. I saw it. It didn't look big. They're going to get 40,000 people in that joint today.
Yeah, I will say the one thing that that is going in TCU's favor is the fact that they're off a bye. Did not play a game, so they have had time to game plan here. I'm also really interested to see where TCU goes. Did they continue to roll with Max Duggan at quarterback? He was obviously fantastic versus Tarleton last time he played. I do think that that's probably the way they end up going. But Max Duggan is not an air raid guy. Sonny Dykes is an air raid guy. So I'm interested to see. To me, this is a really interesting game because SMU players know what Sonny Dykes likes. Dykes knows the SMU players inside and out. He knows the quarterback, Tanner Mordecai. He knows that he likes to play. He knows that he likes to throw. This is going to be a really interesting matchup. Just kind of see, kind of the chess match there. But to be honest with you, Joe, I know you like SMU. You like SMU. I'm probably not on this game. I think this game for me is just, again, collect the data point. I did like the over at a certain number. That number's way gone.
Revenge. Get the coach. He left.
Yep.
Went to the other team. That's at least if you want something to do, root for the team that the coach left and watch this kid Taylor Mordecai. I'm sorry. I think he's really good.
Yep.
Maybe I'm a little higher on him than most, but this kid was supposed to be a stud at Oklahoma and left because of Spencer Rattler.
Turns the ball over too much. That's
ooh,
the only, that's
yeah.
The only concern with Mordecai.
Yeah, and
take care of the football, man. Yep. Throw it away. You don't need.
He
to make
makes up
throw.
For him, but yes, he. I want to see what he does today. Here's another one, and there's other top 25 games we'll get to in a minute here. But Baylor at Iowa State. I gave out a pick on the podcast for this one, but Iowa State's 3-0 for the first time in I don't know how long. They have not impressed me. They were supposed to be good last year. And then here they are going 3-0 this year. Baylor, we all know about that BYU loss. They're underdogs again. Last year, remember, Baylor won this game between the two. Granted, it was at Baylor, and that was kind of where the season for Iowa State unraveled here. But I like the kid, Blake Shapen. I think he's been pretty good. And the defense of Iowa State obviously has been very good here. But I lean the underdog, Dan. And I you can go to the podcast and get the picks. But Iowa State's at home. 2.5-point favorites opened at 1 to Baylor, ranked 17th in the country.
Yeah, this actually opened Baylor -1 or a pick'em most places. And now we're seeing 2.5 in the market. Yeah, look, Iowa State, big win versus Iowa on the road there in a game that, Iowa just could not move the football. I mean, look, neither team really moved the football. They scored 10 points against Iowa. And in Ohio, You know, they I really thought that that could be a potential letdown spot for them. Didn't end up getting in that into that spot, but Ohio, they kicked the crap out of Ohio. I really thought that was a good win for them. But this is going to be a different type of game. This is a game where they're going to have to be able to score offensively with the opponent. You know, Baylor is not going to come in there and score 10 points. They're probably going to put up 20, 27 points, you know, in this game. You know, maybe we were talking about 30 here. And Iowa State hasn't played a game like that yet. They haven't played a little bit of a rock fight or spread it out and, you know, and got in instead of a rock fight. And so I do think that this is going to be, you know, an interesting view to kind of see what Iowa State is exactly. I know our boy CT Betts, who, to be fair, a little bit biased.
A little biased.
Big Baylor guy, but he likes Baylor a lot. You know, so I do think this is going to be a, you know, an interesting game. At 12 o'clock, I'll probably have it on the TV, you know, have my eye on it. But I got to be honest with you, Clemson, Wake Forest is, you know, to me a huge one. And I do think that TCU-SMU game is very interesting.
We'll get into the top 25 games. There's one at noon. Dan just mentioned the game. Clemson goes on the road today. There's another game that I think is we talked about. And we have our buddy Dan in the car on the line. Hello, Dan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, I just wanted to talk this Notre Dame-North Carolina game. Dan, I know you touched on it. You said you leaned North Carolina in this spot, but you didn't like the number. I wanted to come back to it just because I do see this North Carolina team winning and covering. I'm looking more at the total. I do see this game going over the total, which I believe is at 55.5. You know, looking at Notre Dame, they had some pretty decent matchups, Ohio State and Cal. Mm-hmm. But then you look at North Carolina, who just came off the win against Georgia State and that crazy App State game, which I'm surprised they let that get that close. You know, North Carolina's looking ahead to Virginia Tech, and Notre Dame's looking ahead to BYU. I do like the number at 2.5. I just wanted to see if you changed your mind a little bit. I know you said the number scared you.
So Dan, couple things here. So first off, North Carolina is not looking past Notre Dame to Virginia Tech. Okay, let's clear that up. Virginia Tech absolutely just got routed by West Virginia at home. So there's no way that UNC is looking past a major conference program, or a major college program like Notre Dame. That's number one. This is not a look at spot. You know, Notre Dame, I don't think they can look past anyone. Even though I know they have BYU on deck, that's a huge game for them. That's a neutral site game in Vegas. It's a big game that you can't look past UNC right now, okay? I have UNC pick'em right now. I have a little bit of UNC pick'em. I don't want to take the 2.5, okay? My numbers go against what I'm betting on this game. It's very rare that I do that. But I do think that with a team like UNC, it would be very rare. But, it, you know, this is a rare occasion where I trust my eyes more than I trust the numbers, because I've watched pretty much every single Notre Dame snap. And, you know, they played Ohio State well. I don't know what the hell the difference was. If we see the Notre Dame team that played Ohio State, we're going to have a completely different game. But the past two games with the backup quarterback that we've seen, okay, it's not the same. It's not the same. They can't move the ball. They can't throw it down. It's checkdowns every time. And here's my concern. If you like UNC, you should like the under, not the over. Okay? Notre Dame and the over are correlated. Dog and over are almost always correlated. And certainly, in this case, they are. If you think the game is going to go over, then you're expecting Notre Dame to score points, which means you think Notre Dame is going to be in this game. If you like the under, that means you think it could be blowout city. We're talking about UNC taking the ball, you know, taking everything away. They're going to score. It's not going to be a tough game. I know people are going to look at it and say, well, if you like the under, don't you like Notre Dame? No, you don't, because you are expecting UNC to score offensively. They are significantly better on the offensive side of the ball than they are on the defensive side of the ball. Their defense is the problem. Gene Chizik is the problem with that team right now. So, yeah, the North Carolina and the under are, in my opinion, are much more correlated than Notre Dame and are much more correlated than Notre Dame and the under. So I will tell you, I think if you like the over, that you probably should look at your numbers and might want to take Notre Dame instead of UNC.
I just don't think the kid Drew Pine's really any good. But
he's not. He's not. That's the reality.
And I think like all he does is throws to Michael Mayer, which I would too, but they got enough. They're not a good offense.
They didn't trust him against Cal. Okay. I'm not kidding you. He was literally throwing to Tyree, and it was a dump off and a dump off. They were not allowing him to throw the ball. He did make one throw over the middle for a touchdown. I think early in the second half or early in the first or late first half, whatever it was. And it was a good throw. I'll give him that. Mayer was wide open. But they're not letting the kid throw, man.
This kid Drake May is legit. Yeah. Watch him today. He's at home. If this game was on the road, I would feel a little different. But Drake May is the real deal. And if North Carolina gets out to a lead, it's going to be tough for Notre Dame to come back. And I think that's what they have to be worried about. I'd actually look early on, Dan. I think you mentioned the under. I think maybe looking at North Carolina first half. They were a great second half team last year, but I think North Carolina might get out to a lead, and Notre Dame won't be able to get back in this one. 617-779-0985. That's the phone number. We're going to look at a big top 25 matchup featuring Clemson, Wake Forest, coming up next here on the Sports Hub.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, top 25 matchups today in college football. We'll get into the NFL in just a little bit. How about that, college? You know, I was thinking about this on the way in, Dan, I like Anthony Gargano as a person, but when I hear national guys talk football, it's, and again, we're like, you know, guys who just bet on the games. We do watch a lot. We know about it, but there are just some things that I was like, wow, we must be the only people in the city who actually talk college football, which it is funny because everyone's betting on the games and watching the games, right? It's just nobody talks about it around here.
No, not around.
And I know
here.
It's not a big draw. Ratings wise, it's not a big draw. I get it.
No, definitely not.
But on my way in today, I'm like, man, this is what we get at 6 a.m.
No. And to be fair, like we are the guys who are not talking the Udoka story. I do want to touch on it in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah, actually, we have
gambling,
a play. Yes.
From a gambling perspective, I'm sure everyone's talked about it ad infinitum. I'm sure that you're tired of the story. You want to know what happened. We're not going to talk about what happened, but we will talk about it from a gambling perspective.
Look at the statement.
So apologies, not my voice.
Yeah, but I was looking at today's card, and I'm like. And I heard some talk on the way in today, and there was a lot of Maryland love on the way in, and I was just like, ooh, remember last year, everybody? I know that years are different, Dan, but when I see 58 points, that just reminds me of a team that knows they're going to have a tough day.
Yeah, different team.
Yep.
Very different,
different
team.
Different year, different team.
Yeah, not the same. You can't do it. I mean, otherwise, bro, how many points would Utah be staying?
Well, what about the Clemson matchup against Wake Forest?
Yeah,
Clemson.
Well,
here's the skinny on Clemson. They're ranked fifth in the country because of who their coach is and what division they're in. That's a conference they're in. That's it.
Nah, I disagree
with that. I think their defense is still good, even though Venables left. But DJ hasn't been great. He hasn't been impressive. At least I don't think he has. Clemson won this game last year. Wake Forest was in it. They were in it. They were on the road. But they've won 13 in a row against this team. Wake Forest is averaging 42 points a game, but their defense stinks. And they played VMI and Vanderbilt. And this is with Hartman, who missed the first game, but he's back now. Problem for Wake Forest is, dude, they give up to almost 24 points a game. Like, that's their biggest thing. For this team that's just a juggernaut on offense, they give up points.
And we thought they'd be better defensively, too.
Clemson, with DJ Ugalele, has not been great. He was highly touted. If you know about his story, he was the Trevor Lawrence backup. When Lawrence missed time, DJ came in and he looked really
good. That Notre Dame game, right? Is when he had that huge game when Notre Dame was really good that year, and he was fantastic. He outplayed Ian Book. He was awesome. Now looking back, Ian Book kind of stinks, obviously, but you know, still, I mean, DJ played amazing in that game.
Now here's one thing I can tell you about this. DJ struggled against this team last year. He's struggled this year overall. I just think Clemson will be able to do something offensively because of Wake Forest's defense. Yeah, it could be a high-scoring game. I don't know yet. We could probably talk about the total, but if there's one thing I can tell you, Wake Forest will have trouble stopping the run, and I think that's what will keep Clemson ahead in this game. And I think they'll ultimately win, but I'm interested to see how they play when they go to Wake Forest, considering Wake Forest played another local school last week and took care of business. So
I mean, barely. They won.
Barely. Last, you're right.
So, I mean, look, here's the concern, is that Wake Forest hasn't adjusted what they've done offensively in, like, you know, 20 years against this freaking team. And it's frustrating. It really is. Like, you know, they play, what Wake Forest does, they play this when they have the offense, okay, the offensive line, okay, Dave Clawson runs the system where they need to be, the offensive line needs the block for a large amount of time for Hartman and his offense to move the ball. They are not a three-step drop, get it out quick to, you know, get it out quick to the receiver. No, they are a hold your block for a 6 second scheme. And this is a front seven that it's going to rotate in and out with 6 to 7, you know, NFL type players. And that's just not something that you know, that's been successful for Wake Forest in the past. And we've seen it over and over and over. And every single year, it's the same effing result with this team. They don't change. I don't know why, because Dave Clawson's a good football coach, but they just refuse to change the schematic, you know, the schematic pressure against this Clemson defense. How bad was Clemson? Was bad last year, right? They were down. They beat Wake Forest, and it wasn't very close. That game was not close.
48-27, but yeah.
Yeah, 40. That's not a close game.
Dan, that's giving up 48 points. That's
and, that was the best Wake Forest team that I've seen in a very long time. That team last year was still better than this team this year. I think they have a better – Wake has an easier schedule this year. But, Joe, like, that is a significant problem. It hasn't been adjusted. Like, last year, I don't remember this spot – we took Clemson big in this game. This is frustrating. I think Clemson is better on defense than they were last year.
Do you know what the spread was last year? 3.
Yeah. I think it was Clemson minus
3. Yeah, 3. Right? Total was 57. Yeah. That one.
And by the way, that closed at 2.5. I took Clemson 2.5. I looked back at my sheet to see what I had. Clemson 2.5. Like, Clemson's better on defense this year. Offensively, they're whatever, but like they're probably still better than what they were last year, which was offensively inept. So they put up 48 last year. What do you guys think they're going to do this year? Brad Lambert is, you know, my one thing, and the reason I haven't PP'd it is I'm hoping that Brad Lambert, who's now the new defensive coordinator for Wake Forest, has something rolled up his sleeve for this game. Because if he doesn't, Clemson's going to roll, and that's my biggest concern. I have Clemson minus 6.5. I'm not PPing it. I wouldn't PP it, you know, right now, but that's the way I know it's square. That's the way I lean in this game. When Wake Forest can stop this team and they can actually move the ball, I'll believe it. That's what I believe.
I think Clemson is a touchdown better than Wake Forest based off Wake Forest's defense. But the line set at 7 for a reason. They want money on both sides of it. Wake Forest is at home. They can put up points. I guess I am a little down on Clemson, but I think it could be a recency thing too, based off how they were last year, Dan. But the truth about Clemson is they really only do give up less than 20 points a game. They give up like 18 points per game. So their defense is still good, even though Venables isn't there. And they still have players. You'll watch their team. You'll know they got their safety. Venables is out there. They still got players. You'll know. It's about DJ Uiagalelei for me. That's what it's about. Can he... If Wake Forest happens to go up a 14-0, 14-3, something like that, can he continue to sustain drives to keep the ball out of Wake Forest's hands?
I think the answer as of right now, from what we've seen,
I would say yes, based off of Wake Forest's poor defense.
Yep, and Brad Lambert needs to fix that. The total in this game, Joe, I was surprised. It's 56, and I know everyone and their mother is going to be betting the over in this game. I would be careful here because I don't think Wake Forest is going to score. I'm telling you right now, I think Wake Forest, if I'm looking at playing this game, Joe, Wake Forest team total under is something I'm interested in, okay? That would be something I'd be interested in. And I think right now their team total is 23.5.
Wow.
I think I'm looking at under 23.5 in this game for team total for Wake Forest. I don't believe in this team. I don't, not against Clemson. I love this team. I was high on them coming into the year. You guys know that, but not against this team. They don't play well against Clemson. Never have.
All right, if there's a game you want to discuss today, the phone number is 617-779-0985. Just quickly, UMass travels to Temple. I know there's people who just love to bet UMass games. They need, what, one more for their win total? Was it 1.5 or 2.5?
No, 2.5. Their win
two
total, and a half. Now, there was some two. There was some two in the market, but yeah, this was a 2.5 spread or 2.5 win total. Yeah, this is a big one. Now UMass has some games that are very winnable coming up. Okay, they have UConn on the schedule. They have, I believe, they have Buffalo on the schedule. They have New Mexico State on the schedule. In my opinion, those games are also winnable. But if you want to get that over, you better beat Temple today. You better beat them.
I think they can.
I think Temple's improved. I really do. I know they got blown out by Duke, but they were better versus Lafayette. You know, they won that game. Lafayette's not a great FCS team, to be honest with you. But they were really good versus Rutgers. Okay, they were in that game versus Rutgers. BC lost to Rutgers. So, I mean, you know, and again, BC's no great shakes this year.
Yeah.
Not at all. But, you know, but they're not Temple bad, I don't think. And so, you know, that's an interesting one. They also have Memphis on deck. And if you know anything, that was a old American rivalry, Temple-American, a couple years ago when Temple was actually a very good program. That used to be a scoring bonanza.
Is Mathis out? The quarterback for Temple? Like, I feel like I haven't seen him in 2 weeks.
So I have not,
Mathis?
I have not seen anything about Mathis.
Yeah, I see another quarterback.
I mean, I know Warner is their guy. They went with Kurt Warner's son.
Huh.
Yeah,
EJ
Warner. So he was the guy who started against Rutgers. I expect him to get the start for Temple again.
EJ Warner is Kurt Warner's son. I mean, that's like the biggest revelation we've had on this show today.
Did you not know that? Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, EJ Warner, I believe. Yeah.
I should have watched the movie.
From Pete Thamel last week, Temple will start true freshman EJ Warner, son of Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, against Rutgers today. And he played in the Lafayette game. Look, Dwan Mathis is not good. Can we just call it how it is? The kid, very talented. You know, he has talent. He just can't put together on the field. Okay, he's not a college quarterback. Okay, he's not. So,
I got UMass love today. I'm not betting it, but if it can get to 10, maybe 10.5, I'm in. Okay. I'm in.
Well, it's 10 right now. It's UMass plus 10 right now.
Kurt Warner's kid is the quarterback of Temple, and they're playing UMass.
I will tell you, he played mildly well last week against Rutgers.
Kept him in there.
Got some pretty glowing
Rutgers
reviews.
Rutgers bowl team last year.
Got some pretty glowing reviews.
Even though it was
reviews,
because the team didn't play, but still, they were a bowl team.
I'm telling you, he got some glowing reviews. His son got some glowing reviews last week and played pretty well. Turned the ball over once, but, you know, played pretty well.
I like UMass, and I'm not taking it, but I like it. Chris is in the car. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Not much. I wanted to talk about Baylor, Iowa State. Baylor going to Iowa State. The total is like 46.5. I don't see how this doesn't go over.
Chris,
what are your thoughts?
Did you hear us break the game down like 5 minutes ago, or are you just getting up?
No, I was waiting. No, I didn't see it.
Oh, it's all right. It's all okay. Good, bro. We'll go back to it then.
Yeah, no,
thanks,
no
Chris.
Problem. Yeah, thanks for calling in, Chris. Yeah, basically, you know, again, this game opened Baylor -1, or pick of most places. Sharp money came in on Iowa State, moved it to 3.5. A lot of people did take a lot of sharps did take the 2.5 there. It's in that 2.5 right now. Here's what I'll tell you. You said you can't see how the game doesn't go over. Well, I would tell you, Chris, you probably haven't been watching Baylor or Iowa State this year, if that's the case. You know, Baylor offensively, you know, they put up 69 versus Albany, but they put up 20 against BYU. And I think you got to use the data point of BYU instead of Texas State or Albany. You know, you have to kind of look at what that's going to be like. Now, they're going to be home. So, again, I said I expect, you know, 20, 27 points. I think that probably a little bit too bit of a wide range there. About 24 to 27 points. I think that would probably be a little bit better for Baylor. But, yeah, look, Iowa State has been good offensively when they haven't played Iowa. They put up 42, 42, 43, and then 10 versus Iowa. So, again, I take a look at the data points. I think that this Baylor defense somewhat in between Iowa and Ohio. So I don't think they're going to score 10. I don't think they're going to score as 43. So I'm trying to be realistic with the number. I do think this is a legitimate potential under here. So I disagree. I made the number 44.5. I think it's at 45.5 now. 45.5. I would tend to lean under a little bit here. I do think that's kind of the deal.
All right, Dan, we got more college football games to go. We do want to touch on a few NFL games as well. We will take a shorter break next segment, do the long haul.
And we got to talk about some line moves.
Yeah, let's talk line moves. We got to come up with I like to move it.
Okay.
I like to move it.
Wow,
move it.
That's
it. I like to move. Yeah, Tucker, you missed that one last week. We were thinking of segments, and line moves was one of the segments. And I played Night Moves by Bob Seger. And then it just started to develop into
moving songs. We got moving on up, you know?
Yeah, if you got something to add, we could do that at the 50. How you feel about that? All right, cool. All right, he's Tucker. I'm Joe. He's Dan. I'm ready for the food truck festival today, I snuck that in before the 9 o'clock hour. I don't know. I buried the lead on that one.
You did.
But I'm ready to go today, and Dan's ready to bet. And we're here until 9 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Beaker. If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back at 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's the DraftKings Over Under Show. We've been doing college football. We always tell people if you want to talk a certain game, just call in. And we'll put your rate through. Just a quick NFL thing, quickly, Dan. There are 7 unbeaten teams right now in the NFL. Is there one team this week, forget about the spread, is there one team this week that you think absolutely wins that is winless?
Survivor pick. I would have told you Cleveland. I know you would not agree with that. I would have told you Cleveland. And I would have told you the Chargers. Those would have been my 2 spots this week.
Well, what about the Chargers? Line movement.
Yeah, so we can talk about that next segment. The rumor is, and obviously you've seen the market move from 7, 6.5, all the way down to 3. I mean, look, most people think Herbert's going to be out. I gave a PP, and I'll say this right now. I gave a PP on the podcast saying I like the Chargers minus 7. There is no way for me to take that back, right? If you listen to the podcast, you played 7. It is what it is. So I am living and dying by that number. I'm telling you right now, if you have not listened to the podcast and you're 7. Going to listen to the podcast, do 8. Not play Chargers minus 3. Don't do it. I would tell you, without Herbert, my numbers are very different on the game. I had heard that Herbert had, been practicing, and all of a sudden he didn't practice yesterday, didn't do anything, and all of a sudden the whole market changes. So it sounds like, information's out there. You probably won't play from what I have no personal information, but what the market clearly believes he's not gonna play. There are a couple of sharp guys in chat saying he's out, he's not playing. I know Rapport says it's a game time decision, but it sounds like they're not going to risk him this week.
If I'm the Chargers, I'm not throwing him out there against the Jaguars.
I think you could
kidding
beat the,
me.
I think you beat the Jaguars. Honestly, I think you beat the Jaguars.
I think we talked about this already, but their schedule is lenient. I think Chase Daniels is an effective backup. If you need a backup in the league, he's your guy.
And you can beat the Jaguars with Chase Daniels.
I think you can too. And everyone's going to say, "Did you see the Jaguars last week?" Come on.
Well, I will say this: I think the Jaguars front is better than they were. Obviously, better than they were last year.
No, they're better.
Defensively, I think they're better. So, like, it's on their offense if they're going to be successful. That's the whole Jacksonville. If there's one team, Dan, survivor, you said it's Chargers. But what about one of these winless teams? Is there one you would take?
This week? You mean for survivor?
Yeah, I would just say no. Which team gets off the hump? Gets over.
Titans?
All right, so the Titans are playing the Raiders, which is both 0-2.
So that would be the game I would look at. Both those teams are winless right now. Look, I lean if you're forcing me to pick a winless team, okay, I would not condone.
Hey, that's what I'm doing.
Okay, forcing me to
pick a team now.
The Titans. Shut up, talk. Shut up, talk.
Okay, and
the Titans.
For me, Dan, there's a lot of intangibles. A team coming home on a short week after an ass kicking. I like that team to adjust better than a team coming off an emotional loss going on the road without Renfro. They don't know if Jacobs is playing. Like, there's a lot of issues with the Raiders right now. Granted, the Raiders have only lost both games by 11 points, but if I'm going with the coaching matchup, it's Vrabel over McDaniel.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even close. It's a massive mismatch there. And as you just talked about, you know, Jacobs is out. Renfro is out. That offense is now completely different. You know, Zamir White is going to be probably one of your lead backs now. Like, you're not going to be able to move the ball nearly as well offensively. I'm just going to keep saying this. I don't think the Raiders are very good. I don't think Josh McDaniels is very good. You guys know my feelings on this. Again, like, this is not going to change. I will take the coach in that situation, and I'll take Vrabel over McDaniels. And I do think that, you know, this is a decent bounce back spot off Buffalo. They got embarrassed in that game. This is a good bounce back spot off Buffalo. The Raiders, everyone's going to say, well, the Raiders are in a bounce back spot. No, they're not a bounce back spot. They played well. They blew it. That's not a bounce back spot. They blew it. Blew it. Okay? They blew it. That's not the same. Not the same spot. I'm just explaining this. Not the same spot. I know that. For whatever reason, people are like, oh, they're in a great bounce back spot. I heard Felger say that. Felger, you tool. No.
Steve in Bridgewater's 2-0 calling into the show. What do we got this week, Steve?
What a week. Good morning, man. Great morning. Podcast, by the way.
Thank you.
Great podcast. So I was down at the local watering hole yesterday. I wasn't imbibing. I was gathering information.
Ah, okay. And the old drop spot.
Yeah, I love gathering information on a Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, Buffalo's already been anointed the Super Bowl winner. That's already, it's done. There's no way that Cincinnati is going 0-3, according to all the boys at the watering hole. And I'll tell you, they are just piling the money on Kansas City. It's free money. It's Christmas in what, September here? So with that being said, we're going to come back today with two plays. And I mean, I've got about five plays that me personally are playing on this card, but we're just going to go two. Five is way too many.
Okay.
And you get yourself in trouble. So we're going to go, what team right now is the darling team of the NFL?
Darling team. I mean, I don't know.
Like the Lions?
Are you going to say the Chiefs?
No.
Eagles?
San Fran. Everybody's talking about San Fran in national media. National media talking about San Fran, okay. Jimmy G, right? I'm not buying it. I know Jimmy G. He ain't that good. He's dating all these stars and running around, right? So this is a road game for Jimmy G. They got a rookie running back in.
At the Broncos. Yep.
We're going to Denver. First play is Denver. A little home dog. I love Denver to get right and absolutely smack San Francisco around. Okay. That's play number one.
What's your second? We gotta make it quick because we got it up against
it. We'll make it quick. Play number two is Aaron Rodgers winning his Super Bowl, beating Tom Brady. Because that's the about all he's going to do this year.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it, buddy. I'm sorry I had to cut him off there.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we can react to those if you want, Dan. The Denver game, I kind of agree, but I agree.
Yep.
I'm a little torn on the side of that Packers-Bucks game, and I shouldn't be. But I took a total on that one.
You did.
And not some big line movement there, too.
Yeah.
What, that, 5, 6 points?
Six points. I think it was 6 points. So that was 48. Now it's 41.5 was the look at. Look, the spread, I mean, look, Green Bay was 3, plus 3, plus 3.5 in the offseason. Now we're seeing Pick'em or Tampa Bay -1. I got to be honest with you, I don't have a great feel on that game. I don't. That's probably more of a game that I'd rather watch. I know people want to bet on that game because it's a big game, 4 o'clock hour. Everyone's going to be watching that game. The Denver game, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. Again, Denver had a bad week last week. Do people not forget what happened? We were on Seattle. We like Seattle week one. I don't want to try and kill ourselves here. Denver fumbled twice at the goal line. It's just a statistical outlier. They probably should have had 28, 29 points in that game. Like, they probably should have won. They probably should have covered. They didn't. They didn't even win the game, but they probably should have. And Denver, I don't think, was as bad. I agree that everyone seems to be. I do think San Francisco is better with Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. The end. But, I like Denver there. I have not PP'd that one yet, but good chance I'll probably add that to the card. I'm waiting because that number continues to go up. I'm seeing 2, 2.5 now.
Yeah, I'm torn on a side on that Packers Bucks game, but Bucks had first home game, and the Packers have the Patriots on deck. I forget who the Bucks have. I'll look that up during the break here. We got to go to break. 617-779-0985. Oh, and there's a Patriots game this weekend, and there's more top 25 college football, and we do have to just mention some current lines for your Boston Celtics after the week that they have had.
Got some plays coming up.
That's right.
Too.
Yep. I've already rung the bell once, a couple of times now. This hour of the sports is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. They want to help prepare your car for all your road trips and offer completely contactless service with their 15-minute drive-through service. You don't even need to make an appointment. Visit GetAnOilChange.com for a coupon to save on your oil change. Hour two coming up next here on the Sports Hub.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.